And the Lord said,
Amen.
I hope you're ready for this. Actually, I hope we're all ready for this. The end of last Lord's Day and beginning of today's sermon, we go from the last part of the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation on and forward. We studied while there was a great and wondrous sign at first in chapter 12. A woman came right due before pregnancy. She was surrounded in clouds. Her head was surrounded like with a rainbow, which is a sign of life and power and strength. There was also another sign that came up. It was the red dragon, representing Satan, the devil, Beelzebub, any of the titles that you would like to use. That's what it represented. The woman went into labor, and as the child was about to be born, the dragon got in position. He was going to grab and to take and to kill the child. Well, of course, the woman stands for the church, and the dragon is, of course, Satan, and the child were the Christians. We the Christians. And we do know from back in the crucifixion period of Christ's life, the Romans with the Jews together tried to destroy the church. After putting Christ to death, he resurrected. That wasn't good enough. They tried to destroy the New Testament church. They had the power of the Holy Spirit with them, and it didn't happen. But Satan doesn't give up easily. We read in verse 10, verse 10 of chapter 12. I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our Lord, and the authority of Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." Lord, we don't know the time left in our lives, in our country, or in this world. For even Christ did not know. But yet we pray that the time you have spared us, that we may be active in service for you. We have problems, Lord. We have friends and loved ones, and some of us ourselves are ill and need your help. We have others that are in a state of confusion about their life, about their situation, about how just to get along each day. So others are worried about their loved ones. So bless them. Be with our peace officers, our servants, those who take care of us, make us healthy and safe here on our own country, our military and missionaries are going to foreign fields to serve us and to serve you. Father, may we be strong. Give us the understanding through your speaker today to know what Christ's plan is and what you'll do with our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is where people start beginning to be confused. The allegories are strong. He's saying a lot to tell us, but yet he's hiding a lot. Any of y'all ever? Does anybody here remember Pig Latin? Yeah, it was mostly girls that knew how to do it, and they say things in front of boys just to aggravate them to death, and they laugh because they would know the code. Some of you. Oh, one of my favorite TV episodes was Lucy Ricardo got arrested somewhere in Europe for doing I don't know what, it doesn't matter. But she couldn't speak the language. She was, I think, somewhere Poland, Yugoslavia, somewhere. She couldn't speak the language. So they had Lucy would tell Ricky, who would tell somebody in Spanish, who would tell somebody in Portuguese, who would tell somebody in French, who would tell the judge. They were in France. They'd tell the judge. Then the judge would go back till he goes to Lucy. And at the end, when she heard her charge, she goes, "Eh!" You know, she does. And Lucy goes, "Eh!" And they all went down. They knew the code for each other, but not one knew what the other one was saying. What we have here is the Holy Spirit given to John the Revelator. The future that God has planned, but in such a way that only those who really wanted to find out and really cared what God was going to do would hear it and understand it. I, more truthfully, anybody that I've ever met can totally tell you what every word in the book of Revelation means. But I will tell you this. God is serious about it because He seriously loves us. Matter of fact, I think it's in John 3rd chapter, verse 16. We heard it just a minute ago from Brother Jeff. For God did so love the world that He did give His only begotten Son, that whoever loves Him will not perish but have everlasting life. There's the plan. And when we factor everything that we read through these 22 chapters, through that one filter, we do understand that God's on our side and the rest is up to us. They had just prior to this had told us that Satan was cast down out of heaven. He had been one of the mighty angels. Some say he was even an archangel, but he decided he was more powerful than God. Remember all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Take, eat of this fruit. Why? Because it'll make you as smart as God. So he's been trying to corrupt God's creation since the very beginning. Now he's making his last attempt. I saw a race. I love watching Olympics because they all do things I can't do. But this American guy was like 3 miles behind and half a pool to go. Y'all see that one? He's down at the bottom. He put an overdrive on it and just like Popeye was swimming behind him or something, pushed him all the way to the end and won it. Well, Satan's at a full court press right now too because he knows he's going to lose the game. He just wants to take as many people down as he can. They overcame Satan, verse 11, because of the blood of the Lamb. Simply that reason and no others. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. Because of that, those who claim the blood of the Lamb to be for them, they are the victors. We are the victors. They didn't, listen to this line, they did not love their life so much that they shrank from death. He's talking about being faithful to the end. That's what it's all about. More and more stories are coming out, I guess because the first and second generation are longer with us, about what went on in Poland and Czechoslovakia and Hungary and in Germany as well with the Nazi SS and all when they were told to go out and round up all the Jews and kill them. And how many Christians risked their lives to hide Jews behind wall panels, in barns? There's a story this past week about a family who lived underneath the floor in a barn for a year and a half. It was about 3 feet deep. That's all. Just barely about 3 feet deep. So, God has a plan. And these people didn't give up. And He doesn't want us to give up either. We go on in verse 13. When the dragon saw that it had been hurled down to the earth, he pursued the woman and given birth to the male child. We talked about the eagle's wings were put on her, and she was able to fly away and be protected. The church has been protected since AD 30. Almost 2,000 years. We said, right, there's always been a church. There's always been a facility called a church. But there have been some very low times when the church became a political institute. The conquest that took place during the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, murdered and tortured in the name of God. These things are not of God, but people use God's excuse to do what they want to do. The church has been protected because it is still there. The Bible is still there, and we can still learn. We need to be very cognizant of that. Verse 1 of chapter 13, we go this way. I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads and 10 crowns on his horns, and each head a blasphemous name. Now, you can say at one time, that's the 10 emperors of Rome. You can say it had part to do with the Holy Roman Empire and the leadership of the papacy. You can say at one time the European common market had just but 10 members. You can say everything you want to. All it does talks about the power against God. It had feet that resembled a leopard. A beast looked like a leopard, had feet of a bear, a mouth of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and great throne and authority. Now we're talking about the beast that you've heard about most of your church life. The dragon, Satan, gave this beast power and authority. Tremendous power and authority to do what it wishes to do. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world had been astonished and had followed the beast. The whole world, not just Israel, not just Rome, but the whole world, were astonished for what the beast was doing and had followed him. Do you remember the game? Some of us do. Follow the leader. If you circle around a tree, you circled around a tree. Got down and crawled under a fence, you got down and crawled under a fence. Whatever it was, follow the leader. There are four individuals right now in our country that hope you'll follow the leader. The four people that are openly vying for the presidency. They want to be the leader of the country. And they want you to follow them whatever they do. We have to be smart enough to follow the leader. His name is Jesus. Amen. And when we dedicate ourselves to do that, the little trappings of this speech and that speech and the economy and all those kind of things doesn't hold a sway on us. Born in 51, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Carter, Ford. And who came after Ford? Clinton. No? Yeah? Reagan. Clinton. Bush. No. Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Obama. I got 15 leaders. I can't follow any of them right now. But look how much our leadership's changed. From the far, far right to the far, far left to walking down the middle and not knowing where we're going anyways. We cannot follow but one leader, and his name is Jesus. I don't care how much you like the speech giving of a Reagan or a Bill Clinton or anybody. They're not going to save you. Donald Trump. And it's not political, please. But Donald Trump made a statement yesterday. He was talking about Friday. Maybe he was talking about Utah. He said, I guess the only way I may go to heaven is to get the Mormon church on my side. Wrong! The only way to go to heaven is to follow Jesus Christ. To hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's not our leader. Our leader is Jesus. And the sooner we figure that out, the better off we, our country, is going to be. These people are just temporary. Let's be kind, but let's be smart. One of the heads seemed to have a fatal wound and had been healed. The whole world was astonished. He followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. They also worshipped the beast and said, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? They were mesmerized and awed by him. 1963. Plane landed up in New York City. Limousine sent by... What? You're going to have to finish my story for me. Plane landed in New York City. A limousine sent by Ed Sullivan. And four skinny little mop-headed boys got off. Remember the Beatles? And people just scream, and the girls just scream. They tried to knock the fence down to get to them. John, Paul, George, and Ringo. They're not our leaders. Nor a movie star. Some of us are old enough to remember Rock Hudson or Cary Grant. Nowadays it's Brad Pitt and I don't know who else. They're not our leaders. Our leaders have to be Jesus. We better be very careful. You know how to tell how the world's doing? Go to Publix at the checkout stand. And as you're trying not to watch how much money's going through the cash register, you look at them little magazines. They found who killed Jimmy Hoffa 41 years later. That's what it said yesterday. And on and on and on. And this one's marriage and that one's divorce and this breakup. On and on and on. We've got to say that these aren't our God. And we need to be very careful about it. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies to exercise his authority for how long, you want to guess? 42 months. 3.5 years. 1,260 days. Over and over and over. And people believed him. They're going to believe him. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name, his dwelling place, and those who live in heaven. The best way to win a battle is never let it occur by just putting the other side down so much they don't want to even take you on. Some of our best battles are won by strategy more than by the weapons. You scare the other team out of it. Scare the other guys out of it. He has given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. God's holy people are going to be attacked over and over and over. And we may lose the battle, but we cannot, with God on our side and Christ's blood covering us, lose the war. You felt that way. I guarantee you, if you play in your mind all with politics, somebody that you really wanted in the last 50 years has lost, and you say, oh, the world just shot all to pieces now. You give up. Then 4 years later, they're out, and somebody else comes in. And the other side says, they give up, I give up. We don't ever place our faith in men. We place it in God. The saints were conquered. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose name have not been written on the book of life belonging to the Lamb who was slain from creation. He has an ear, let him hear. The rapture has not come yet. We have just seen the tip of what's coming up. Eventually, all who not call on Jesus as their Savior will serve the Satan. You only serve one or the other. You don't have a third choice. Many who think and call themselves as saved won't be. Why? Because their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We will hear about that over and over in the Scriptures. Lamb's Book of Life seems to be a big journal. And in that journal is written the people who serve God, who believe in God, who follow God, who accepted God, who've done what they're supposed to do in a relationship with Christ. When our name is written there, it will not be taken off unless we choose to leave our name off and turn our back to God, as Simon the sorcerer did in the book of Acts. There will be all inhabitants of the earth, except those whose name were written in the book of life, all who are alive will choose. And if you're not for Jesus, you are against him. There's not one of these, well, I don't know yet, I haven't made up my undecided. Don't you love politics? 47% one, 47% the other, and the other ones don't know who they're going to pick. How can you not know what you like? I mean, you either like cabbage or you don't. You know, you either like steak or you don't. You're a Coke or Pepsi, one or the other, I don't know. But the deal is, our mind, if we don't choose Jesus, we've chosen to go against him. And we need to have our name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And that comes from, again, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Fill with the Holy Spirit to serve him. And those things written by God through Jesus to John through the Holy Spirit tell us this. And that's when we have to settle it in. It is not some secret-y thing that we're not meant to understand. You either love God and serve him, or you don't. One or the other. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but was slain for the creation of the world. Verse 9, he who has an ear, let him hear. Anyone who goes into captivity, to captivity he will go. Anyone who's to be killed with the sword, he will be killed. That doesn't stop our relationship with God. Now, some of you born late 20s, early 30s, remember the Depression. Some of you remember December 1941, Pearl Harbor. Others may remember Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Still others bring it up to current time. 9/11, Charlie, 12 years ago. There's been some very bad, tough things in our lives. We ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get worse. But we, as followers, will not fail. Why? Because God will not allow us to fail. He didn't send His Son to us to fail. Take a breath to read this next line because it's tough. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Patient. We're not patient people. We have microwaves. We have a push button on our TV so we don't have to get up and walk over and turn the volume up or change the channels. We have electric furnaces so we don't have to go chop wood. Oh, no. Instant rice. Minute rice and instant oats. We are not patient people. Thank God He is. He's been patient with us forevermore. I can't do it. I've got to stop here because we're going to have the beast and the mark of the beast, and I'm not going to rush that through in 4 minutes. Not fair to you. It's not fair to God's plan. So let's sum up this part of the lesson. Just because... Have you ever seen invisible ink? No, because it would be visible if you saw it. They teach in... Watch Mr. Wizard years ago. You take a piece of plain white paper and get milk. And you take a little scribe or a quill pen or something like that, and you write on the paper. You let it dry. You give somebody and they can't see a thing. Until you either pour vinegar on it or lemon juice, or you hold it over a flame. And if you do, the acid in the vinegar or lemon juice or the heat from the flame will change the consistency of that milk, and you'll see the message there. There's been a message through the entire Bible. God is love, and God loves you. Love Him back. There's been a message in the entire Bible. This part here, this is the hidden ink. This is the invisible ink. You've got to look and see what He means by it. And here's what He means. It's going to get better. And then it's going to get worse. Then it might be better. Then it might be worse. Then we go to Jesus. And it's really, really good. And when we see it that way, all the things we do are worth it. Them little girls. 4'8". Simone. 4'8". He said, well, how could she do those things? Then he showed her. Did y'all ever climb a rope in gym class? Did you ever climb it with your feet sticking straight out and not use your feet? Did you ever hang up on a board for 20 minutes and your legs are straight, extended straight out and you can't move them? Did you ever do hundreds and thousands of push-ups and exercises and jumps and turns and twirls? We don't see the behind the scene. We just see what's beauty on the mat. Well, here's what's beauty. Here's what we don't see. We've heard about what all Jesus went through. We don't even understand what He left but heaven to come on earth to be pushed around by the Romans. Be not listened to by His own family. To be betrayed by His own inner circle of 12. To be denied by Peter himself. To be arrested and tried illegally. To be beaten, scourged, and murdered. That's the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know what we get to see? The empty cross. The empty tomb. And the full heart that He has of love for His children. Let me focus on that. He's already done the work. He's made it work for us. All we got to do is hear Him, believe Him, accept Him, repent, be baptized to serve Him because He's already served us. Our hymn of invitation today?
Number 500.
Turn with me, almost persuaded, hymn number 500. Yep, I know that one. Stand with me if you would.